Today on Seculo, a shocking document released by an FBI whistleblower, and Dr. Oz joins us live.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Seculo. We are taking your phone calls, 201-800-684-3110. You know, one of the, if not the most high-profile Senate races in the country is in Pennsylvania. We talked about the debate this week. Dr. Oz joining us live in the next segment of the broadcast on Seculo. You don't want to miss it. A campaign update, the issues he believes are most important to those Pennsylvania voters, and what he is picking up on the ground as he travels Pennsylvania as well. So, that is, again, coming up in just a few minutes on the broadcast. You don't want to miss that. We've also got new information coming out of an FBI whistleblower. It's reported by Project Veritas about how they're looking at election crimes. And usually election crimes, again, would be ones that you would understand. Listen, we're not even supposed to talk about some of them, right? Like voter and ballot fraud, which they do list. Which, by the way, if we put in our title, that would get kicked off of a lot of social media platforms. But they do list that, but they also list mis and disinformation. So we're going to get to this in the after Dr. Oz.
Yeah, but this is mis and disinformation stuff. as an even election crime without intent. It says it could be mistaken or intentional. This is what they say. False or misleading information spread mistakenly or unintentionally could be deemed a crime for election violation by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Folks, this is unprecedented. First of all, if it's a crime, it requires what's called mens rea, specific criminal intent. You eliminate specific and criminal intent, it's not supposed to be a crime. But this FBI, what is perceived to be basically an overview sheet, has campaign finance, disinformation, election influence, disinformation, election interference. Well, election interference is criminal. But what does, by the way, information mean? You got information about a particular candidate running for office, and the FBI decides it's not right, and you had no intent to commit a crime, but you now can be indicted? I mean, we're going to have Andy Economo, former U.S. attorney, joining us, our senior counsel. This is, folks, totally 100% absurd.
Yeah, I mean, you have to look at this. Seems like this cheat sheet for the FBI agents is, in fact, disinformation, because again, you can't have a crime without intent. So again, you can have negligence and things like that, but you can't have a crime without intent.
Here's the problem. They put in there things to consider: First Amendment. Things to consider: First Amendment. That it's the First Amendment, freedom of speech. Also says the ability to redress grievances to your government. Petition your government for redress of grievance. So why is the FBI, and then whenever they use the words disinformation and misinformation, guess who they're talking about? So if you get flagged on Facebook, they're going to say, oh, that was misinformation, determined we're going to impanel a grand jury? That's what they're talking about. What's your reaction to this, folks? 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. I mean, this is an look, this information Project Veritas got. I can't wait to see the FBI's explanation. You know what? I hope, for the sake of the country, their explanation is, we didn't send this out. I hope that's what they say, because for the good of the country, that would be better. But if they did send this out, which apparently they did, I would say we've got a serious problem here, a serious issue.
Yeah, absolutely. So we want you, again, to share this broadcast with your friends and family. Take part in the broadcast. Get your calls in at 1-800-684-3110. We're going to have Dr. Oz live in the next segment of the broadcast. Get that update from what could be the state that determines the balance of power, the Senate race that could determine the balance of power in the United States Senate. So it's very critical. So we'll get the live update from him as well. We always encourage you to go to ACLJ.org to stay updated on all of our work.
I really do want to hear from our listeners on this. What's your reaction to this misinformation, disinformation, which is part of the Biden agenda, folks? They were going to have a misinformation, disinformation czar. She just had so much stuff on social media, nobody would get her put in place. 1-800-684-3110. We want your calls, 800-684-3110. And what you're looking at in this coming election, less than 2 weeks away, 1-800-684-3110.
Seculo, and folks, we are honored to be joined by Dr. Oz. This is the race in the country that almost everybody, both sides of the aisle, Democrat and Republicans, said, you know, this is the race that will likely determine the balance of power in the U.S. Senate. I can't think of anything more important in a midterm election than that right away. And Dr. Oz is joining us live.
So, Dr. Oz, Jay Sekulow, it's great to have you. Appreciate you taking time for, I know it's a busy campaign. I wanted to first go right to kind of the one of the issues that's impacting Pennsylvanians, and we're on stations all over Pennsylvania, but around the country, and that is energy and energy independence. And this is something you've been very outspoken on. What's your sense of where we are and where we need to go?
The crisis in the Ukraine and the fact that in Europe gas is going to be $10 a gallon is a wake-up call to all Americans. And within Pennsylvania, where the vast majority, 60% of the population, knows a lot about energy because they get paid through energy. Either they work in facilities, manufacturing that are affordable because energy is inexpensive here, or they actually work in the energy business, building pipelines or drilling, or they lease their land to energy companies. So the entire economy turns on energy, yet we have not been allowed to harvest it. And so big cities like Philadelphia, which should be like New Orleans or Houston, affluent big cities with lots of energy, instead are built up as the largest poor city in America. So if you sit in a diner in central PA, the person serving you coffee can lecture you on energy policy. And they are upset that the approach to energy has been a negative one in the media, that they're vilified for being in the energy business, and they want a Senate candidate, a senator serving in Washington who can protect the energy industry and allow America to become energy independent again.
You know, Dr. Oz, one of those issues, and I think it ties directly to energy, and you already touched on it, not only is it important to the voters because of the prices that they see, whether it's the prices of the pump, the price to heat their home, but also that Pennsylvania is so energy rich that if you unleash the power of Pennsylvania and the Commonwealth, people there, the economy would be in a very different situation. So it also impacts that larger economy while people are dealing with this large, you know, huge inflation and trying to predict whether or not they can pay their bills, heat their home. So I think Pennsylvania is a perfect example of a place where energy policy really is directly impacts, as you said, so many people's economic bottom line.
We're literally undermining our own country. And I start my discussions on energy saying, if you really love the environment, forget about virtue signaling. If you truly love the environment, you should be rooting for natural gas. A cleanest source of fuel we have right now that's widely available. We build green energy. In the meantime, we have much of that energy infrastructure already being built up in Pennsylvania. But we live and die on energy for like natural gas being affordable. And it's affected at every level. If you want philanthropies, food banks, you need to have energy because that's how they pay the bills. If you want tens of thousands of extra jobs in Philadelphia to employ people who have no future, you know, give them an opportunity in the energy business, training young people in the trades. If you want to have America take its position as a powerful energy producing dominant country, so we don't have to go hat in hand to Iran or Venezuela, then get American energy up on its feet again. All of this, by the way, is bothersome to people in Pennsylvania because it's a hypocrisy they're witnessing. While virtue signaling is taking place about protecting the environment, we're actually hurting the world environment by not giving them access to our clean natural gas.
You know, it's incredible to me, Dr. Oz, that we have gone in 19 months from energy independence to energy dependence to the point where we're angry at Saudi Arabia because they did not release more more oil. And that we've reached this point in our, which goes to the next issue, because as U.S. Senator, you're going to have to deal with this. And this is our standing in the world. And our standing in the world has diminished significantly in 19 months.
Because we're sending the signal you just mentioned. You know, if you're trying to get Iran on board and let them have nuclear weapons so they'll give us some of the dirty crude, you're undermining your ally in Israel. So what does the world look at? They say, my goodness, the Israelis are as loyal as they come, and yet the Americans are selling them short in order to get the Iranians to give us a little bit of something they have that we actually don't seem to have right now. So we'll work with the bad guys, hurt the good guys. That's not the moral high ground that America historically has taken. And if you mature that along, you realize that it actually strengthens Putin's position, that he knows we can't make up the gap in his shipments of energy to Europe, so he's holding them hostage. And then you say, what are the Chinese thinking? Chinese thinking, my goodness, Putin's doing this deal in the Ukraine. America pulled out of Afghanistan without planning. They're begging energy-rich countries like Venezuela and Saudi Arabia and Iran to do us a favor, well, we're not the leader anymore. You want to go to these countries, especially your adversaries, in a position of power.
And when you talk about a position of power, Dr. Oz, too, you're starting to surge in the polls. You saw that this, again, through the summer, through the debate, and then post-debate, and the numbers now in a lot of the polls, you get 2 or 3 points. I mean, so it's still turnout. People need to get out the vote for you. But I wanted to talk about this, too, with it, when it comes to how people view America. Because when they see the crime going on in our country, in our major cities, yes, but even in small towns across America, you know, Pennsylvania's got every kind of city and town in the country. Very representative of almost the entire East Coast, I mean, because of the way it kind of divides up and you've got the different regions of the state. And when our adversaries see just the violent crime plaguing our nation, that is something, too, that impacts, one, all of us at home, but then, two, our standing abroad.
Well, some of it's caused by the fact that we can't protect our border and the ability of fentanyl to rush across the border with cartels, which are terrorist organizations, profiting from human trafficking, abusing those people, by the way, creating a humanitarian crisis, but meanwhile making every state a border state. By fentanyl right now in Pennsylvania, we're number 3 in the nation in deaths. There's not a place I go where someone doesn't put their hand up and say, my family has been destroyed because my loved one, who wasn't a drug addict, usually these are, you know, someone sprains their ankle. They get a street version of a pill, pain pill. It turns out to have fentanyl in it, and they die. Parent finds them blue and dead in bed. It petrifies people. We're also living in fear of crime in our streets. Parents won't let their kids go out. I was at a street fair in Philly, and the mom who has a bunch of small kids said, I bought video games, and I plant my kids in front of them, and I won't let them leave the home. This is in West Philly, where I went to med school and business school, where I used to walk around without any concerns at all. You can't do that now. And we have the largest open-air drug market in the country in Philadelphia and Kensington, which is an example of what happens if you legalize all drugs, which is what's happened. And my opponent, and I haven't mentioned him much, but he literally takes the opposite position from me, an extreme position on all these issues. He wants to legalize all drugs, including heroin and create heroin injection sites. Well, that led to a 50% increase in homicides when it was enacted in Oregon in 2020. He wants to get let out as many murderers as he can from jail, arguing we shouldn't have life sentences for felony murder. I don't think that's what the focus should be on right now. And he wants to increase taxes, which he's done in every position he could. And I argue, my goodness, at least pay your own, because he hasn't paid his own 67 times. So these are issues that are separating me from him and has given us the lead you mentioned in the polls.
Let me ask you this, Dr. Oz, and that is the greatest issue facing our country right now. As you look at, I mean, we look at the economy, we look at energy issues, crime. If you had, I mean, they're all significant, but there is this sense, it reminds me very much right now of the Jimmy Carter era, where there's this like malaise in the country and we're not acting like the strongest country in the world anymore, and we're not acting like the most powerful country in the world. So when you look at it, what do you see as the biggest threat to the country right now?
The biggest threat to the country is not taking care of inflation, because that will eventually lead to weakening of the dollar and could cause devaluation, right, of the dollar, which is a horrible thing where all of a sudden the dollar's not worth what it used to be worth yesterday. And we are too strong of a country to let this happen. We have to get our affairs in order. It's very fixable. And the best thing about this is that when you travel around Pennsylvania, you get optimistic because people here really believe we can fix the problems. And you know what? I never get asked to beat up the Democrats. No one ever says that. They said, please stop bickering and fix the problem. So while John Fetterman takes things to the extreme all the time, which doesn't help, I want to do what I believe Washington would benefit from, bring balance, work together with Democrats, independents, just and do what I've always done as a surgeon. Because I'm not a politician, I'm a heart surgeon. Right. You have big problems like a broken heart. You unify, you don't balkanize and divide the operating room. You come together and you fix the problem. That's my commitment to Pennsylvania.
Your doctor, I was about to say that. What was your final message to the voters in Pennsylvania? I think you just gave the best one you could give. And I think you're absolutely right. You're spot on where voters are in Pennsylvania. You got to appeal to more than just partisan politics. And while I think we caught on Mike, they're worried there.
Yeah, they're worried.
We know that Chuck Schumer's worried and that Joe Biden's worried, and that's a good thing in our opinion. Dr. Oz, we appreciate you taking time, a very busy time, this final week of the campaign to join us.
We appreciate it. Thank you so much. Go ahead.
.com before I forget. Dr. Oz.com. Fetterman got $2 million the night of the debate from Democrats. I have to tell the truth about him more than he lies about me. So give me a little bit of help, DrOz.com.
There you go.
Absolutely.
You got it. Okay, thanks again for being on the broadcast. We appreciate it. By the way, we offered time to Lieutenant Governor and Democratic candidate, Lieutenant Governor Fetterman, to come on to the broadcast. We still keep that invitation open. But again, no response yet. But, you know, who knows? Will, you're not so optimistic. No, Will Stein is not so optimistic.
I don't know if we've ever had a Democrat.
Did anybody ever? I think we have.
We have?
Years and years and years ago, like in the 90s.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I think
before my
did.
Time.
Well, you had Democrats like Keith Schuler. You had conservative Democrats that were pro-life. Those days are way done. All right, folks, we come back from the break. Andy Economo's joining us. We got something from the FBI. It is unbelievable what they are trying to criminalize without intent, which is, of course, a requirement of a crime. So share this with your friends, whatever feed you're on right now. ACLJ.org, support our work. We'll be back with more in a moment.
Sekio, it's great to have Dr. Oz on. You can tell he's fired up and ready to go on the campaign trail. I'd like to hear that from our conservative candidates out there. And I will tell you, I think he's got the message. When we were listening to him, and that final message, which is what he's delivering right now and what he was delivering to all of you listening, is that, one, he knows it's a national race, and two, I think he's got a very good sense of where the Pennsylvania voters, who they are.
Yep.
And you learn that when you really campaign and hit the ground, the campaign trail, and he's obviously done his work.
So the FBI has come out with something new, Jordan.
Yep.
Our friends at Project Veritas have got this from a whistleblower. 2022 midterm election social media analyst cheat sheet. Did we put it up on the screen? Let everybody see it. Do we have it? I guess we don't. Okay.
I'd ask, what are election crimes? Okay. So, of course, there's campaign finance crimes. We see that regularly. Election influence improper, because you can't take money from foreign government. You know, there's things like that. I'm going through the ones that aren't controversial. Now, this one, of course, if we put in titles on social media, it would get you could be deplatformed. You say voter fraud and ballot fraud, but that is a real, obviously, crime. Voter intimidation, that's real. Voter suppression, real. But here's the two.
Listen to the words that they use, folks. We've heard these words before. Here we
go. They're not next to each other.
Nope, they're
intermixed between all of the other things I just read. Disinformation is number two on this list under campaign finance, which would probably be the number one most violated election crime or prosecuted crime, I would imagine. And how do they define disinformation?
This is unreal.
In this FBI cheat sheet, false or inaccurate information with intent to mislead others. Disinformation campaigns on social media are used to deliberately confuse, trick, or upset the public. That is so broad, because I will tell you this right out of the bat. The one thing you look at is you say there are sometimes push polling done, and people go to jail for it. They should that tell people the election day is actually the wrong election day. You don't need disinformation, because that would fall under voter suppression or voter fraud. So again, this example of disinformation, I'll flip it on them. When Gloria Allred comes out and says she's got an anonymous woman who won't give any information, but Herschel Walker demanded her to have an abortion. If she can't produce that woman, has she committed a federal crime now?
Well, listen, here's what they say. I mean, they say, so we've got two that we're focused on, disinformation and misinformation. I'm going to go to misinformation. You covered disinformation. Yeah. We're going to get back into
that
it.
That means intentional.
Listen to the misinformation. False or misleading information spread mistakenly or unintentionally. A crime, you could be indicted by a grand jury, according to this FBI sheet, for misleading information spread mistakenly or unintentionally. No criminal intent necessary, which is a requirement for a crime, Andy.
That's right. There are two components of a crime. I know a little bit about this because I was chief of the criminal division of the U.S. Attorney's Office in Atlanta for 5 years. The two components of a crime are an evil act and an evil mind. You've got to have the actus reus and the mens rea in Latin. So you've got to have intent to commit a crime. You cannot commit a crime. You cannot be guilty of a crime. You cannot be should not be prosecuted for a crime that you have, where you have acted in a manner that is by mistake or without intent. If you were to say to somebody, for example, that the voting poll place closes at 6 o'clock, when in fact you were mistaken and it closed at 7 o'clock, and that person didn't vote because they relied on you, you could be guilty of a crime here. Or if you could say that library is not a polling place anymore, when in fact it is, and that person doesn't vote because they thought that you had given them the incorrect information when you were mistaken and had no intent, you could be guilty of a federal crime, according to this so-called cheat sheet.
But you can't be, because crimes require intent.
But what you could have is them not understand that and then showing up at your door.
But, well, they say they've defined it, saying false or misleading information spread mistakenly or unintentionally under what are election crimes. It's up there. There, it's on the screen. For those that are listening on radio, which is most of you, it's a one-page sheet of paper. It's got these highlights. We used to call them bulletins when we were in the government. And it says, what are election crimes? And then it lists several that are, and then misinformation or disinformation. Here's the problem. One of them, they say, doesn't even require criminal intent. You cannot have a crime without intent. Misleading information or likely to upset. By the way, that's under disinformation. What is upset the public?
Oh, that's good.
I mean, think about these standards. That this is coming from your government, according to Project Veritas. They got this from a whistleblower, and I'm glad they got a whistleblower to do this. We have a lot of calls coming in. We're taking them at 1-800-684-3110. There's a lot to unpack here. We're going to do more of this in the second half hour of the broadcast. Let's go ahead and take a phone call.
Yeah, Richard's calling from Kentucky online, too. Hey, Richard.
Yeah, hello. Thanks for taking my call. And, Jay, thank you for your clarification. It does seem that the Garland, Biden-Garland, FBI is trying to remove remove intent from the definition of a crime, and I think they're just trying to go after Trump again.
I think it's a lot more than Trump again, frankly. I think this is political organizers that they disagree with.
Yeah, this is remember, Donald Trump is not the one organizing on the ground right now. He doesn't have a campaign right now. This is going after the grassroots.
Because they said they're going to social media. That's what they're looking at.
Yeah, these are going after Americans, not high-profile politicians. This is how you go after, people volunteering, people, you know, the people you see outside the polling places who are trying, again, to follow all the rules. And if you try to follow the rules, you're not supposed to be prosecuted, you know. And again, you're allowed to say bad things about your political opponent.
When, according to here, if it's going to upset the public.
Upset.
Well, this is the word they use. I mean, upset the public, Andy, that's a crime.
Yeah, that when I read that astounded me. Because, I mean, I look at social media all the time, stations that I disagree with politically, and I get very upset. Does that mean that they have committed a crime?
No.
Of course not.
But they are really, I mean, the fact that they put, this is, folks, here it is. All right, we're taking your calls, 800-68, well, I'll tell you what, do we have time, Will, for one more? We're going to, hang on if you're on the phone right now, we're going to come back to you, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110.
Yeah, Austin, we'll take your call in the first 5 minutes when we come back in our second half hour. If you hang on with us, I see you've been hanging on there for a bit. I want to encourage people to, second half hour coming up, we got Secretary Pompeo joining us as well. He's traveling the country. We're continuing to give you these political updates. We have Dr. Oz on, Secretary Pompeo, who's out on the trail for candidates all over the country, and so it's good to get a sense of, too, all of these races that are going to determine the balance of power in Washington, D.C., and what is investigated and what we're just has been investigated enough. It's like, you know, already enough with, in my opinion, it's like enough with January 6th, enough with 2020. Let's move on to what is the Biden administration up to? Why are they making these decisions they're making? Why are they targeting Americans on dis and misinformation? What is in Hunter Biden's laptop? And why did we get told that that was not something we could share?
But Jordan, upset the public is now the basis of a criminal act under election
crimes. Well, we know that's actually where
folks,
they want
to be. It used to be said that speech could be aggressive, robust, and it was constitutionally protected. Apparently, that's not the view of Merrick Garland anymore.
No, that is not there. Remember, they said
they wanted misinformation, disinformation.
They don't like that offensive but legal talk.
But they want to criminalize it now.
Well, many on the left have said, you know, the problem with the United States and the mis and disinformation that we have a First Amendment. They acknowledge that here.
Yeah, they don't like the First Amendment. Britain doesn't
because it's too broadly protects speech that they don't like.
We'll take your calls when we come back. 800-684-3110. Next half hour.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. We are talking about this FBI election social media analysis cheat sheet. What are election crimes? They have disinformation there.
You gotta go through it again.
Now, disinformation requires intent to mislead others. Again, you don't even need to use that term because if you were illegally committing election crimes with misleading people, that would fall under voter suppression.
If you said the date is November 9th instead of November 8th.
Yeah, all that says, and listen, it happens and people go to jail and that's the right thing. But that's not what this is about. Now, that one causes some intent. But what's wild here is you've got the normal stuff. You got the campaign finance, yep. You got your election influence, election interference, ballot fraud, voter fraud, which, you know, they don't like us talking about, but they do acknowledge it. Voter intimidation, voter suppression. This is real. But misinformation, which is false or misleading information spread mistakenly or unintentionally, and they have that under potential election crimes.
Yeah, no, they say if on the sheet itself, it says, what are election crimes? And it's interesting. It says, for the following to fall under federal jurisdiction, the following must involve one or more federal candidates on a ballot, election official misconduct, or false voter registration. Per consultation with the requirement, the FBI must consult with the headquarters, political corruption unit, U.S. Attorney's Office, before proceeding with a full or grand jury investigation involving election matters. This is listed under what are election crimes? And it says, false or misleading information spread mistakenly or unintentionally. Andy?
It's not a crime to act in a mistaken or unintentional manner. In order to have a crime, you've got to have an evil deed and you have to have an evil mind. You have to have intent to violate the law. Specific intent, that's right. Mens rea in Latin. You've got to have that. That you learn, that's fundamental in criminal law 101. You learn that. And as a prosecutor, if your defendant did not act with intent, with deliberation, with malice, then you don't have a crime. So this is a false statement that they're making.
Let's take a phone call, Jordan.
Yeah, right. We said to Austin in Georgia. Austin, thanks for holding on as we had Dr. Oz on. You're on the air now.
Thanks, guys, for everything y'all have done over the last few decades. I've been a big fan.
Thanks.
This sounds a lot like reading off the pages of Orwell's 1984. It's thought crime. It's moving the goalposts. What do y'all think about that?
Well, it's exactly the words we said in our pre-meeting, Andy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just funny that you should say that, Austin. I'm from Georgia, too. I just reread the dystopian novel by George Orwell, 1984, and it's a very scary novel. It was written and published after World War II, but it portends to what is going to happen in the future year 1984, and thought crimes are what George Orwell, real name Eric Blair, thought about and said about and scared the devil us about, and we are having that today. Today, if you act according to this cheat sheet. Now, I didn't make up the word. That's their word. If you act in a mistaken or unintentional manner and your information doesn't happen to be true, you have been guilty of a crime. Winston Smith, 1984. We're back to that horrible era that Orwell talked about. It has come to pass under Merrick Garland's FBI, Jordan.
We're going to continue to talk about this, too. Secretary Pompeo is going to be joining us. But again, if you're on the line, hang on the line. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. We're going to continue on to discuss this throughout this second half hour of the broadcast. There's even some bites we're going to play from the White House press secretary. Because is it mis or disinformation that could be prosecuted by the FBI on political talk right around the election? I guess they'll have to be the judge. I doubt that they'll be knocking down the door of Karine Jean-Pierre. But they might be knocking down your door because of what you share on social media. They do have a section that says you got to be very careful if they share it on social media because we do have a First Amendment in our country, unfortunately. It's like the law enforcement now, they have a disdain for our laws at the federal level.
Yeah, like you said, we have a First Amendment. Unfortunately, you have to deal with that.
Awful but lawful. Remember that?
But this violates the First Amendment. If this was what they were actually doing, you'd go to try to get an injunction from enforcement. I mean, it's that bad.
I think it's all about their attempt to intimidate, actually. It's an FBI-style voter intimidation, which is shut up, don't share
nothing.
Your views,
yep.
Don't talk to your friends and family, don't post anything on social media, even though now Twitter has been unleashed, or it's beginning to be unleashed. We're sitting down with the Elon Musk era. We'll be right back with Secretary Pompeo. To SecHill, we're joined by our senior counsel for global affairs, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, is traveling the country with candidates all over the country. He's got a great sense of where things stand, but also a new piece up, exclusive for us at ACLJ.org from Secretary Pompeo on Biden's backward education policies hurting our children. We know we're seeing these races out, like in Oregon, where education is the driving factor.
Yep.
And I think it's awesome that you're seeing these moms running for office saying, I'm running because of my kids' education, because of your kids' education. And you point out, Secretary Pompeo, that the National Assessment of Education Progress just released shows how much harm just the lockdowns measures had on the education of our children. I mean, some are estimating they're 2 years behind because of those lockdowns. What do you think needs to happen so that our children receive the education they need?
Well, Jordan, this data, and you, Jay, we're all about facts and science. This data is tragic. And what it points out is decisions matter. Who we elect matters. Who sits as school superintendents matters. How we handle teachers' unions. These things matter. This was a political decision to keep our kids out of school all this time. The science didn't support it. The teachers' unions drove it. And the people who will suffer the most will be the kids who can, frankly, least afford to have lost that time around their peers with their teachers, learning, socializing, becoming better at reading and math, all the things that matter. The fix, Jordan, is also pretty straightforward. The fix is the people of America demanding that we get our schools back. And you hear it when you have callers or parents, moms, even grandparents who are seeing their grandkids die in garbage in schools. They're walking it back. They're going to grab back what our kids are being taught. And there's almost nothing in America today that is more important than getting this right.
No, I think it could be revolutionary. We know if we can get our schools back on track and what they're teaching back on track, you have a generation of kids that hasn't been indoctrinated.
Yeah, but
they're spending too much time on indoctrination, not enough time on reading and math.
But then, Mike, at the same time, you got the Department of Justice saying that a parent going to a school board meeting could be labeled a domestic terrorist. And then we got this latest thing with the Department of Justice, FBI, issuing a memorandum about what are election crimes, and they include in their misinformation about an election that is misleading or false, even if it was given mistakenly or unintentionally. And then, like I said, at the same time, they're labeling parents that go to a school board meeting as domestic terrorists.
That statement from Justice is stunning. Would that include the President of the United States giving a speech where he said that gas was $5 a gallon when he took office?
Yeah, yes, because it doesn't require intent.
Yeah, even if he was mistaken.
Yeah. Even unintentionally.
There was clearly no intent there for a host of reasons. But factually, he puts this out to the whole world. Look, it is absolutely dangerous when you have an FBI and a Justice Department that are beginning to prosecute parents for doing nothing more than demanding that their kids be taught things that are consistent with their value set. For the simple things about family and the fact that there are only two genders and math matters. 2 + 2 is in fact 4. And our nation was founded on a noble idea, not a racist principle. When parents are asking for that and the Justice Department is following a lockout of kids with a lockup of parents, that puts the country in the wrong place. The good news is, Jay, I think I've been out there. I'm going to be in Ohio this afternoon. I'm going to be down in Florida on Sunday. I am convinced that parents and families across the country are had enough of it. They open the black box. They saw what was inside, and they're about to go unpack that black box in a way that will redound to the benefit of our country and every family.
People talk about, because you're on the trail, so you're in Ohio right now, the huge race there with J.D. Vance, and then in Florida, DeSantis, Rubio, and lots of House races as well in both those places. But people have talked about, the Democrats wanting to make, especially they're talking about the suburban, the mom vote, it's going to be all about abortion. And yet it now appears we're seeing in the Pacific Northwest and in the Northeast, in places with races that weren't even on the map, where it is this mom vote, if you want to call it that, again, is saying it's not about abortion. It is about education. This could you think this could be like the issue that is that one that's tough to poll, where it's that group of maybe they're not hard partisans, but this is going to get a whole group of people out to vote who are just upset with where the Democrats have taken education?
I think it's happening. I can feel it. I'm confident I'll see it down in Florida. I'll see it in, by the way, every community, communities that are well off, communities that are less well off. We'll see this in Hispanic communities. We're seeing it. I was in Texas talking about these congressional races in the valley along the border in Texas. These are people who want to go to church, raise their families, and have a job and not be at risk when their kids go out in the street that some criminal is going to go take them and abduct them. These are the basic things. It's what people are going to come have already voted on in the first days of voting, and will vote on November 8th as well. I'm convinced of it.
You know,
we all know I'm pro-life. Abortion is an important issue. Sure. Roe was right. But in the end, folks are going to vote based on the things that matter most to their children and their families.
Yeah, I mean, Roe needed to go. Roe was overturned. By the way, Justice Alito could not be any more clear. Yet the left saw that was going to be their running on that. That's going to be, and I think it may have motivated some of their base, but obviously with the way the polling data is going, and I'm always nervous with polls, you don't know. But I think about this. Under your administration, 19 months ago, we were energy independent. Mortgage rates were about 2.5%. You could even get some at 1 7/8. You weren't having the situation with crime in the cities. I mean, it was crime in the cities, but it's because the policies of these mayors were absurd. But now it's much more rampant. We said yesterday, we had Professor Hutchinson on, who said that the cost of your housing basically went up 72%. If you bought a house for $400,000 a year ago at 2.5%, today that $400,000 house would be costing you the equivalent of an $800,000 house. This is a real economic impact on real people across the board.
Oh my gosh. Think gasoline. Think, you know, when it gets cold and you get that next bill from your electric company, not just mortgages too. Families that rent their homes, rents are now 10, 12, 15% higher than they were just 4 or 5 months ago. And Jay and George, the thing is, sometimes bad things befall people. This was political. These were choices that were made. These were decisions that were made by Joe Biden. He said, we're going to shut in American energy, so we're not going to have affordable energy for working class people. He said, we're going to kick our kids out of the schools. And he drove a set of regulations that now drove inflation through the roof. The bad news is those were choices they made. The good news is they are fixable with sensible policies that deliver for American people.
I had another follow-up on this, and this is because we get this call a lot, and that is, well, so the Republicans get the House and Senate, so what does it mean? Well, it means a lot. I mean, you can stop things, and I think that's what people need to understand. Stopping things is very important right now.
You wouldn't have the Inflation Reduction Act. You'd have less than $31 trillion in debt. Inflation would be a fraction of what it is today as a result of those bills not having been passed. There would be so many things. We'd have a better chance to actually secure our southern border. All of these things, even if you don't have the White House, if you have control of the agenda and majorities in the House and Senate, and don't forget governor's races, district attorney's races, state legislators all across the country, these things actually matter. We'll get a shot at reclaiming the White House in a couple years, but what happens in the next couple weeks will set the tone, the direction, and has the chance to reclaim our country long before 2024.
Secretary Pompeo, as always, we appreciate all of your insight, and especially now as you're traveling the country, it's great to get those insight, get our listeners updated on what's happening all across the country. So we appreciate it. Our Senior Counsel for Global Affairs, thank you, Secretary Pompeo, for joining us. And check out that new piece up at ACLJ.org. Biden's backward education policies are hurting our children. Share it with your friends and family. I agree with Secretary Pompeo. It's not a sleeper issue, but it's one the Democrats don't want to talk about. They can't stand talking about this thing because they're owned by the teacher unions.
Yep.
that parents want to take back their schools. And I think that's why you're seeing like a tight race in Oregon and Washington State. And we're starting to see races pop up. And even I think we'll see some next week. And it is, they are led by these moms who are just like, enough is enough with these schools. Yeah. You're not educating my kid. You're indoctrinating them if you're even letting them in the school.
But then what does the government do? The FBI then decides, Andy, that they're going to target the parent and label the parent as a domestic terrorist because they're questioning policies of the school. And then according to this new FBI, what they call cheat sheet, that's with or without criminal intent.
Well, I mean, the attack on parents who want to do nothing but educate their children in the proper fashion, in the American way, in the way that we were brought up and taught to be brought up, and to label them domestic terrorists is an outrage. Then you put out a cheat sheet and you say that if you make a mistake or unintentionally say something that is false with respect to an election in which a federal candidate is on the ballot, you have committed a federal crime. Well, you haven't. But they are making that statement and they're politicizing, again, continue to politicize the FBI.
All right, so those of you that are on the phone lines, hang on. We're going to get you in this next segment. If you want to talk to us, 1-800-684-3110, talking about the FBI. But we also want to talk about this. We're going to talk about this every day until the election. What is motivating you? 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. If you're watching on any of our social media applications right now, Facebook, Rumble, or YouTube, hit like, share, or the plus sign on Rumble. We encourage you to do that. Follow us on all of these social media apps, Twitter, Facebook, of course, Instagram, Truth Social. YouTube. I'm leaving something out. At Jay Sekulow, at Jordan Sekulow, at ACLJ.
A couple things we want to address before we get right back to it. Take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. See the news on Nancy Pelosi's husband. It's horrible that he was attacked. Any kind of violence, wrong. They're already trying to play some politics with it. We're seeing that, you know, the person was actually looking for Nancy Pelosi. And again, there's nuts out there when you're a high-profile political figure. I don't know why they wouldn't have had more security at their home in San Francisco because of, one, the crime that we've seen, but also because the Speaker of House is home. But again, I just wanted to acknowledge it because it's out there. It's breaking as we're on the air. And unfortunately, if I predict, I would, which I think would be wrong in this situation because you'd care more about your husband's health than you would making about politics. But I have this feeling this may be made about politics and this domestic violent extremism issue may be coming back up because of this. We'll just see. We'll see what happens.
We got the misinformation, disinformation that we've talked about so many times. Now the FBI is, through the Department of Justice, is saying you can investigate these as crimes during the election season, even if there was no intent to commit a crime. A mistake would talking about chilling free speech. But there's an interesting, you want to play the soundbite?
Yeah, I want to start with this. This is the White House Press Secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, talking about, you know, they still say, even though the record voter turnout in Georgia, I mean, like never seen before. And because of the new laws in place.
Right.
But no, they're not having it. It's still, you know, it's Jim Crow 2.0. Remember, that's what they said. Take a listen. This is one of the most wild statements I've heard when it comes to voting. Bite two.
The access to voting is being attacked.
But doesn't that record turnout show that Georgia voters are finding ways to vote even amid the
Yeah, I'm not going to get into specifics of what Georgia voters are doing. What I am saying is that, you know, generally speaking, again, more broadly speaking, of course, high turnout and voter suppression can take place at the same time.
This is that left is right is left, 2 + 2 = 4. Well, the reason she doesn't want to actually get into it is because in Georgia, in the hubs of the major metropolitan areas, many of them are majority African-American.
Right.
So while African-Americans still may be a minority statewide,
in Atlanta,
you could not have record turnout without record black turnout. It's impossible, which means Governor Kemp and the state legislature there, and Secretary Sinn, they were right when they said, we're passing a new law that's going to make it easier to vote and harder to cheat. And obviously it has.
But that will never be enough for them.
Because again, anything that does it's that
and
doesn't
now they're trying
allow,
to intimidate your speech,
right? Because what they want, and listen, I'll go back to say I agree with you all on this. What they like is live ballots flying around. They loved 2020.
Yeah, because there were
ballots
everywhere.
They know how to take advantage of that much better than Republicans. Yeah. And because again, the drop box.
You said you got three
back then. Yeah, three live.
Let's take a call.
And they kept coming in. People, you know, different addresses I'd been at over the past decade. Not request. Live ballots. 1-800-684-3110. We'll go to Bill in Wyoming first on line three. Hey, Bill.
Hi. Thanks for responding by call. I've got a concern, I guess. I'm not too sure. It's concerning your cheat sheet. Past few days, I've heard about people just standing around watching these ballot boxes, not bothering anybody, okay, but just making sure that nobody's stuffing these ballot boxes. Could this be one of the things that they're putting, the FBI is putting on the cheat sheet to say,
well, yeah, I think that they may try to do that under voter intimidation.
Yeah, and you have to listen.
But that's not actually voting. That's just dropping off the ballot. And so, again, but if you're in a public
sidewalk.
When people
are monitoring a ballot, when you have monitors.
There's ways to do it.
Let me say this.
Legally.
Let's be clear, because I think this is important. So if you have people that are basically observing the vote.
Yeah.
Which you have. That
poll watchers.
Poll watchers. That's perfectly fine and it should be encouraged because it's transparency. If you've got people hovering around a ballot box, okay, a box, a drop-off box, you do have to be careful that it doesn't end up becoming voter intimidation.
Yeah, you can't.
There's a fine line there.
You're not the law.
You are not the law, and you don't have posse comitatus status.
If you believe that you saw something,
you report it.
You report it. You cannot stop it.
You cannot stop it. And your presence in and of itself may not be enough, but if you took any adverse action, like engaging the person, that could be a problem. That's where, look, but they're trying to stop disinformation and misinformation, even if you didn't intend to do it.
Well, you can't do that. I mean, it's not. We have a First Amendment in this country. Britain doesn't have it, but we have it. And the First Amendment allows free speech, robust political discussion and debate, talking to people. And just because you make a mistake or you act unintentionally in connection with an election, that does not constitute a crime. It simply does not. And it cannot and should not be prosecuted as a crime. And what really bothers me is this thing that if you make a statement that upsets someone, think about that. You've made a statement to me in a political context. I'm upset about it. Oh, I'm so worried. I'm so haggard at what you told me that I can't stand it anymore. I've committed a crime.
Yeah, without intent. Unbelievable. Let's go ahead and take another phone call.
Yep. We'll go to Betty in Pennsylvania online, too. Hey, Betty.
Yeah. Hi, Jay. How are you today?
Great. We're great. Thanks.
Listen, I want to first thank you and your organization for the fabulous work you do.
Thanks.
And I follow you every day.
We appreciate that. Thank you.
I just have a comment. I was thinking about the misinformation and disinformation after having watched Elon Musk by Twitter. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, isn't he one up on them with in terms of the First Amendment and power to speak freely? And I just think he's one up, and that shows me that this country is really pushing back.
Oh, I think the country is pushing back. Yeah. You know, we talked about on this show, we needed our billionaires on the other side of the aisle, not necessarily Republican, but just free speech advocates, which is what he is, and more of that libertarian viewpoint to start, you know, putting their money where their mouth is,
and they
are. Whether it's Elon Musk or Peter Thiel, who's directly engaging politics with, again, huge political donations to counter the Soroses of the world and that kind of money. It is great to see. That's why the left is melting down.
Twitter
was their base.
Gone.
And it is no longer theirs. Now, I don't think he's going to try to make it the Republican base.
Nope.
He wants it to be everyone's.
Yeah, but you see how the left's reacting? They're going to start pulling off it. You watch. Except it's such a big platform that maybe they can't afford it.
Well, it's been more influential for them recently because Donald Trump left the platform. When things get tweeted out, conservative statements, I mostly get like these coordinated hate attacks.
Yeah.
Especially if it involves like a political race. I'm sure if we put when we clip up the Oz interview today,
it'll be hate.
Even though there'll be a lot of people that do like it, that see it, they won't be the nuts who write back.
Right.
And unfortunately, that's who's writing back right now on Twitter. It used to be that town square that Elon Musk, that's what he wants to try and recreate. He also has much bigger ideas. Have you heard that?
Yep.
About this Project X he's working on, about making utilizing that Twitter platform to be like a one-stop app. And he said it could be 3 to 5 years away. But he's got bigger plans.
Video and everything else on it.
Oh, all your online ordering, your delivery services, all of that could be in one place. So it's just interesting. He knows what the back end much better than all of us do. He now owns it. Cambria calling from Utah on line one. Hey, Cambria.
Hello. Gentlemen, a couple comments that are tied together. This cheat sheet, should it not be applied across the board to everyone, including the candidate? I asked that question, and if it's true, then how is it enforced?
It should not be applied against anyone. It is a total violation of the First Amendment. It violates the Due Process Clause of the Fourth Amendment. They are criminalizing thought and speech. It's absurd. You know what my hope is? I hope we find out tonight that this isn't real. But so far, it's been out for 24 hours, and the Department of Justice, as far as we can tell, has said nothing. So I think that news organizations should be pushing to see what DOJ says about this, because this document violates everything a free republic stands for. All right, folks, that does it for the broadcast today. Support the work of the ACLJ. You can do that at aclj.org. Subscribe to the Secular Brothers podcast. A lot of you did yesterday. secularbrothers.com.